Father God, we thank you for who you are this morning. It's no one like you. We love you, Lord. We want to know you more. So thank you, Father, that you come and do your will in your way among us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So last week I spoke, every Friday, for those of you that don't know, we go to campus and we share a word with the students there. And I spoke about what is your purpose? You know, what is our greatest purpose? Isn't that something that all of us want to know? Anyone? Am I the only one? Okay, great, good. So that's good. So I said our greatest purpose is to believe in God. Now that's like, no, can't be, really, that's boring. I mean, what does that even mean? Well, it means that our greatest purpose in life is to know God. Would you agree with that? Some people are still not with me. So for my greatest purpose to know God, I must believe that He exists. Does that make sense? Now some of you are still confused. My greatest purpose is to become like Christ. How does that sound? Amen. Now for me to become like Christ, I should probably know Him, isn't it? I can't become like someone if I don't know them. So for me, my greatest purpose is to know God. Unfortunately, we step away from that. Our greatest purpose becomes something else and we get very, very busy. But God says, do you know what? Not only do I know you, have I made you? Have I purpose with you? I want you to know me. God, King Almighty, wants us to know Him. Now I see the thing is already on there. You're probably thinking, what does that mean? The Holy Spirit wants to come in. Now when we hear that, you're like, let's make way for the Holy Spirit to come in. Or someone is thinking, isn't He already here? Let me tell you something. When Jesus was walking on the earth with His disciples, it was amazing. I mean, I sometimes just want to dream and be like, I'm one of those disciples just walking and just knowing what is Jesus doing, what is He eating, because I'm also going to eat that. You know, how does He pray? I want to pray like that. I really want to know Him so that I can also be like Him. You know, when we become Christians, Jesus is our hero. Because He said, lay down yourself and follow me. So I'm like, okay, great. I want to get rid of myself and run after Jesus. I want to know Him. But then Jesus said to His disciples, guess what? I'm going away. Probably when your hero tells you he's going away, you're like, oh, no. I don't know who of you have lost family members who were your hero. It's terrible. But then Jesus says to them, but it's good for you that I go away. It is so good for you that I go away. Why? Because when I go away, I'm going to send my Spirit to you. That is probably the best news ever. Why? Because I can get to know God because He sent the Spirit to me. He sent the Spirit to me and to you. He says, I want to know you. You want to know me? Let the Spirit come in. Now today I'm not talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about, getting saved or anything like that. I'm talking about areas in our lives. What we do is we limit the Holy Spirit. You know, when God sent the Holy Spirit, He says, oh, thanks, Cindy is so on tune. Something's happening here. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. Now, the Amplified says, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. I mean, who doesn't want that? Huh? I'm going to read it again. Some of you are still thinking about this. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. Comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby to be with you forever. I mean, that is pretty good news. But unfortunately, what do? We have areas in our lives. Maybe when we come to church, we're like, yeah, Holy Spirit, come. Woo-ha-ha. Let's see things happening today. But then there's certain areas, certain rooms, let's call them rooms in our lives, where we say, no, Holy Spirit, you're not welcome here. That counselor, that advocate, the one who God sent and said, I'm your helper. We said, no, it's okay. What do? We quench the Holy Spirit. We quench the Holy Spirit. And I was thinking about this, and why I can preach about this today is because I do it. Because I get so busy with my life and things happening that I want to do it, and I'm going and I'm running, and I start to stress about this thing, and I'm thinking, what must I do to that, and how's my future going to look like? And I'm quenching the Holy Spirit, who's saying, I'm the helper, I'm the intercessor. Just come to me. Just get to know me. So what do we need to do? Well, first thing that we need to do is that we have to stop. Do you have to stop working now? That's not a word from God. We have to slow down, and we need to stop. With everything that's busy, we need to stop. Did you get that? We sang it this morning. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. There's a verse, Proverbs 21, I think, Cindy. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. You know, if we don't stop, we won't realize that we're not busy with the right stuff. If we keep on running and trying and doing our best, then we don't realize that actually what I'm doing is not right. I think it's right. It seems pretty noble. I did do that today. I did give that. I did preach a good message. God says, I'm not interested in what you think you did right. I'm interested in your heart. But you won't know what's going in your heart, before you don't stop. What does it mean to stop? Say, okay, Holy Spirit, apparently you are in me. Apparently you are with me. Can I start speaking to you? Can I allow you to come in my heart and say, and show me what is really going on there? You know, when I moved to Durban, that's probably what happened, is God said to me, okay, so you thought you're coming here for this and this and this and this. I'm telling you why you actually came here. For me to do heart surgery on you. Let's stop and see what is going on beside my heart, in your heart. Let's see what is really the motivation of your heart. So if there's something that is limiting, if there's something that I am doing to limit the Holy Spirit to come in, into say a different room or whatever, would you like to know what is the thing that is limiting the Holy Spirit? Would you like to know? Are you guys awake? If there's one thing, maybe more than one thing, that is limiting the Holy Spirit to come into certain areas of my life, I want to know what that one thing is. Why? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We sang that. You know what? God always confirms his word. Every song that we sang today is part of the message. When we prayed, the word that came now is part of the message. God is not confused. He's saying, I have a word for you, my precious, amazing people. I love you so much. This is for you. Are you listening? Are you opening up your hearts? Because I am for you. If there's something in me that is limiting God to come in, limiting the Holy Spirit to come into an area of my life, it can be my marriage, it can be relationships, it can be at work, it can be my finances, where I'm not experiencing freedom, where I'm not experiencing that Jesus is actually king of that place. Do I want to know how to open that door? I do. Do you know what? It wasn't a good feeling when I realized what lock I placed on that door. You can go to the next one. So the lock I realized for me, how I was limiting the Holy Spirit to come into that area of my life, was pride. Now, if you are like me, you don't really want to hear that. When people speak about pride, I want to run the other way. Do you know what? I'm actually the one that should listen then. Say, Lord, we never speak about this. You know, there's lots of sins in this world. We speak about pride and we all know that, but we say it's okay. Why is it okay? Because we all have pride. You know, it's like part of who we are. But what is pride? Pride is this, which is a big one for me, is to think that we are better than others. The other side of pride is not complying with God's word or submitting to it. Now that's a big one. Now I don't believe there's anyone in us here today that's perfect. So we need to examine our hearts and say, am I keeping pride at the door and not allowing the Spirit to come in? Now some of you are like, where did you get this doctrine? I'm not talking about salvation. God says you can come just as you are. Hallelujah. And you get saved. And I will do things in you. And no matter what, you are always welcome to me. Why? Because of Jesus. He covers our sins. He covers everything so we can come. But are we experiencing the fullness of God in things? Do we know that He has so much more for us? Do you want that, or do you just want to be the normal Christian that just know I'm saved and yeah, I'm going to heaven. I did make that decision, but for the rest of my life I'm stressed and anxious and I don't know what's going to happen because I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and be my comfort and be my intercessor and be my teacher, my helper. Now I want to do it alone. I can do it. We tell other people, you can do it. Go, go, go. No, you can't. You can't. That's a revelation for me. I can't do it. And that's what Paul said. When I'm weak, I boast in my weaknesses. Why? Because Christ is going to do it then. I don't have to do it then. Christ will do it. But we don't get there because pride is standing at the door and saying, I'm going to keep this lock, Holy Spirit. Why? What is pride? It's very dangerous. That's what it is. What happened to Lucifer? Where did he come from? He thought, I'm better than God. I'm better. Let me do this. I'll show you. You know, if we do sins, it a lot of time makes us run away from God, isn't it? Because we feel so guilty and shameful. We shouldn't run away from God. We should actually run to God then. So I want to encourage you, the next time you mess up, which would probably be today, if you're like me, then run to Jesus. Don't run away. That's what the enemy wants you to do. The more you run away, the more sinful you feel. The more, you know, you don't get anywhere. But if you realize this sin, I've sinned, run to Jesus. I heard this one guy saying, you're always going to go like this. You're going to be like, I've sinned. Let me run to Jesus. I've sinned. Let me run to Jesus. But you know what? You keep on moving forward. Not staying stuck at the same place. Every time you sin, run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. But you know what the problem with pride is? We don't run away from Jesus. We think we're better than Jesus. We think we know better. So we're not going to run away from Him because we think we have this. We think we're a step ahead of Him. Does it make sense? The thing with pride, Cindy, you can go to the next one. Oh, excuse, yeah, that is where I get my doctrine. But He gives more grace. Do you know what that grace means? It means empowerment. Do you want to be empowered? Thank you, Jerusha. I want to be empowered, spiritually empowered. I want to do God's will. I want to see His kingdom come. God gives grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Do you want to lock open that thing? I want to kick it and bang it, and I want to get that pride out. You too? Maybe. Okay. I think I have the right crowd here today. Andrew Murray wrote a book on humility. If you want to read it, please do. Okay? They say if someone writes a book on pride or humility, no one reads it. I wonder why. Because everyone realizes we have pride, but no one wants to face it. He says, there's nothing so dangerous as pride. It is natural to us. It is insidious and sneaky. Eh? That's what it means. I had to Google it. And hidden from our sight. That's the thing about pride. We never think we have it. It happened to me. I thought I was pretty amazing. Humble girl. Quiet. Don't say anything wrong. The best ever. And then when the Lord came and he showed me, woohoo, what's going on there? I remember that day. Pretty good. We were in Gardens Church. We just had a fast and one pastor stood up and he said, you know what we're going to do now? We're going to start repenting of our sins, but I actually want you to come forward and do it over the mic. I'm like, no ways. No ways. I don't have any sin like that. I'm pretty okay. And then people went up and they repented and stuff. And I was just thinking, I can't do that. And then he was gracious to us and he said, let's turn into groups and let's start praying. Then you repent of your sins. The only thing that I could think of was like, Lord, I repent of my pride. Because it sounded pretty cool. And we all have pride, so it's cool to repent about pride. And only after that I realized, yo, these people repented about how they're treating their husbands. They repented about what's going on in their lives. They repented about their lust. They repented about their pornography. They repented. They got it out there, and I couldn't do it. I realized, yo, I'm so full of myself. I think I have this. I think I am the best. I think I am better than others. God says, no. Let's start working in your heart. Let's start working in your heart. The next slide, Cindy. Andrew Murray also says, pride, to be lifted up, to be highly minded, to indulge in self-esteem. That's what we call it these days. Let's just work on your self-esteem. Just saying. Or self-confidence, and to glory in self-achievement. What do we do when we get something right? Yeah, woohoo, I did it. Worked so hard for this. Huh? Again, only me. I got my degree. Flip, how I got it, really. But I got it. I must be smart. This is all about me. The Holy Spirit wants to come in. One of the awful things about pride is that it deceives us. We may think we are serving God and others, but in reality, we are serving ourselves only. I'm going to read that again. One of the awful things about pride is that it deceives us. We may think we are serving God and others, but in reality, we are serving ourselves only. Why? Can someone relate with that? I can. Ooh, I'm doing so much for God. Can you see me? Woo-hoo! I'm doing so much. I'm so amazing. God, did you see what I did today? Did you see how many people came to salvation? I preached that message. God's saying no. No. Let's get that out of the way. There's one more quote. There's not more, one more quote, apparently. So, how do we deal with this pride? Well, we have to realize in the first place and get to that place where we say, everything is from God. Do you know that? Me standing here speaking is from God. Me having a degree is from God. You might say, no, I studied for that. Okay, how did you get into university? Okay, who gave you the mind to study? everything we have is from God. Well, I can play the drums pretty good. I must have more talent than others. Who gave you that talent? It is from God. You, I've got a lot of money. I work so hard for that money. Who enabled you to work hard like that? Who gave you like a normal body to do the work that you're supposed to do? You see, when I realized that everything that I have is from God, it started changing me. What does Paul says? He said, I cannot boast but in Christ. Why? Because everything is from him. I might feel like, yo, I did something amazing now, but Lord, it was you. You gave me that. Hallelujah. James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Everything that you have is from God. Everything. Coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And the next one. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? It's about 2 years ago when I got that scripture. Just wait, Cindy. You're too quick for me now. The Holy Spirit is quicker that side than here at the moment. What do we have which we have not received from God? Can you think of anything? Thanks. Someone is awake. Everything. That's the first thing we need to realize. The second thing. So you all understand that point, right? I don't have to explain it more. Okay. The second point, which we all know already, is that everything is for God. So firstly, everything is from God. And then secondly, everything is for God. Can you see that I have nothing to stand on, really? So, scripture. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. What if what I do it for the Lord? Next scripture. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. It's interesting, we often talk about this, we often pray like that. Let all that you do it to the glory. Lord, not our glory today, but your glory. But in the end, we still long for that approval. We still long to be seen. We still long to just be somewhere. But do you know what God said? I already approve of you. When my son died for you, I approve of you. I think you're pretty amazing. Guess what? I made you. I made you just as you are. You don't have to seek approval somewhere else. You don't have to wait until someone tells you you're amazing to know that you're amazing. Why? Because God says you're amazing. God thinks I'm amazing. He thinks that I'm so amazing that he said to me, I'll send my son for you to die in your place. I love you that much. Man, do I love you. Sometimes we forget that. We're like, if I can just get someone to love me, I can be okay. To see me. To work hard. That I can just show that I can do this. Now God says, I'm already pleased. But guess what? I have something greater for you. Let's break that pride. Next thing, let go and let God. Basically what that means is, I'm gonna let go of trying to control my own life. I've tried. I did. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to go there, and I'm studying real hard to do that, and if I get there, and then the Lord's like, do you want to do your plans on this life? Or do you want my plans? I don't know about you, but I chose God's plans. Why? Because he says my ways are so much higher than your ways. So much higher. You know, we sometimes do stuff just to get something. We make our own plans. If I do this, then maybe that person will see me and then I will get promotion to that thing where the Lord is saying, don't do things and try. You want to control how things must go and manipulate life, how it must go. Just hand it over to me. Hand it over to me. Let me tell you a story. A true life story. A testimony. So one day I was preaching and got to church. I'm very excited. I'm always excited. Ooh. And as the worship starts, oh, it was just, everything was wrong. I mean, the sound was terrible. Nothing wrong with the sound, people. But that day, you get those days when nothing is working out and the atmosphere in the church is just like, it's not working. I don't know if you've ever been in a service, you're probably, you know, more focused than me, but I couldn't focus. So eventually I had to get there in the front and I had to preach. So that morning, as I was sitting at the table having breakfast, like I speak to the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm preaching today. But I didn't really know what I'm going to say. I prepared well and all of that, but it doesn't make sense yet. I know that this is the word that you want me to preach, but it doesn't make sense in my mind. Like, what must I do? Just help me. What is the first point? How must I carry this over? You know, just talking to the Lord. And what I felt he said is, let go of control. Let go of control. So, well, that's not very easy to do. What if I get there and it doesn't work? What are you saying, Lord? Saying, trust me. Let me do the work. So I get in front of the church. Now you must remember, it was the worship was like not working really. When I walk like through the people, everyone's like distracted and like, can we just start the preaching? You know, type of thing. And when I got there and I took the mic, I was ready to say, you know, we have to change things here. We have to change the atmosphere. What's happening here? You know, my English left me like in that split second. Like there's something happening here. We can rebuke something or what must we do? And as I took the mic and I was ready to say, let's just all start praying so that we can change the atmosphere. The Lord spoke to me very softly and say, who's taking control? It's like, ooh, I am. I'm doing a good thing. I'm not doing something wrong, but I'm taking control now. I was like, okay, I won't say anything, Lord. I just prayed a very quick prayer, and I started preaching. Now, when I started preaching, I started with a normal story, not a Bible story, just a normal, plain, simple story. I didn't come to the punchline of the story yet. It was still a very simple story. There was nothing to the story, I can promise you. No one knew where I was going with this. There was nothing that I did that could people could feel like, ooh, whatever. But when I looked at the people like this, I could see that the Holy Spirit's already working. In a moment it came, and he started working in the hearts. Guys, I was in the middle of my story and people were sitting in tears. I didn't say anything for them to do that. The Holy Spirit did that. God taught me a very big lesson that day. He said to me, open that door that the Holy Spirit can come in. That he can take control. That he can do what he wants to do, not what you want to do. Because you know what? My plans are so much better than yours. If you let go of those controls, and I can come and I can do the work, man, we're going to run. Man, we're going to see amazing things. It's going to be much better than what you have ever imagined. You know what? The Holy Spirit is your helper. He's your partner. He's here to move with you. But we have to get ourselves out of the way. Wanting the glory, wanting whatever God says, no. I'm going to have the glory. You can do it my way or your way. I'm going to have the glory. I want to do it God's way. I believe God is saying this not only to our church today, but He's saying it to the body of Christ. He says, you know what? Those who are going to let me in and do what I want to do, man, it's going to be amazing. Man, if we let the Holy Spirit come in, into our meetings, into our small groups, what are we talking about? Oh, I think we need that. No. God, what are we talking about tonight? How do you want to touch our hearts? Come and take control. Oh, but I'm going to offend people. What's that? I'm standing in the way of what God wants to do. He says, give it over. Let's do it my way. How's my finances going to look like when I say, Lord, it belongs to you anyways? Am I going to hold on to every cent that I have? Controlling everything? No. It's from God anyways. Lord, it's yours. How can I give it away? I'm studying the New Testament now. They never hold on to their money. We want to be like the Acts church. You know what they did? They brought everything to the house of the Lord. There was no one in need. God is going to start doing that in us if we start opening up for Him to come in. We're not here just to look after ourselves. We're not here just to live comfortably. We're here to move the Holy Spirit. It might not only be so comfortable, but man, oh man, is it exciting. I read about Paul. His life was never boring. Huh? That man, shipwrecked. A snake bites him. I'm like, man, this man went through a lot of stuff. But guess what? There was always a miracle happening. It was maybe not like the best life ever, like living in this castle and having the best life and I'm the CEO of this company and it's just going amazing and look what I've done. No. Not that I'm saying you mustn't be a CEO of a company just to, you know, get it out there. But what I mean is that although it was going tough, there was always going miracles with him. Why? Because he was like, Lord, you do it. I'm getting out of the way. You do it. Does it make sense? Are you all with me? Do you all understand? So what do we need to do? Move. That's a good one. What I've realized is that I can be like, I'm going to get rid of pride, but then I just fall into works again. The Lord said, just come to me. Come to me, Merichan. Come to me. How will I know what to do if I don't come to Him? You know, that morning before I preached, if I didn't sit at the table and speak to God, I would have done my own thing. God says, come to me, speak to me about it. Do you know what? When we think about prayer, we think we must be holy on our knees. That's amazing, I do that often. But that's not the only way of prayer. You know, when I drive, I speak to the Lord. Wow, Lord, I just had an amazing day. Wow, Lord, look at that. Wow, Lord, I love you. Wow, Lord, fill in the gaps. The Holy Spirit wants to come in and we can get to know Him because He is with us. So I want to encourage us today. Let's open up. Let's just come to the Lord. Just say to Him, Lord, what I did is like, oh man, I've got pride. Lord, I can't deal with this. Will you help me? Will you do it? What kind of God is that? That is so amazing that He helps me in everything. As soon as I'm like, come and help, He's like, okay, yeah, I'm going to help you. That's the kind of God I am. That's the love I have for you. But you know what? He's also a gentleman. He's not going to come and say, hey, pride, let's get that out of the way. No. He's gentle. Last week, we went to Le Village, a few friends and I, and at the end, they did not an altar call, but like he was speaking about a message, and then it's like, okay, some people need to respond to this message. And as he's saying that, I'm thinking, do I have to respond to this message? You know, trying to think, is there a way in my life that I'm not doing this or whatever? And before I could think of something, the Holy Spirit came and touched my heart. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. When someone is talking, your heart goes quicker. You just feel a move in here. And you know the Spirit is speaking to you. So that happened to me. And as it happened to me, I still wanted to argue with the Holy Spirit and say, no, 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 you've got it wrong. Really, I can't think of something now. But instead, I decided, okay, apparently there is something. I better stand up. I didn't know yet what it was, but the Holy Spirit convicted me in my heart. I felt it. And I stood up. And when I stood up, you know, there comes stuff in your head like, oh, you're just standing up because no one else is standing up and you want the preacher to feel better or, you know, whatever it is. But as I stood up, I just opened my arms and I said, okay, Lord, what now? He came and he showed me there. I didn't even know about it. But because he convicted me and I could respond to him, he was like, okay, I'll show you. Do you know what? I didn't feel like, oh, really? That's me? No. I was like, thank you, Lord, that I can get those things, that I can see it, that I can respond to you. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us like that every single day. We get so hard and full of ourselves that we don't even feel it anymore. He's saying, I want to come in. Why? Because I'm gentle and I love you and I've got the best for you. My ways are so much higher. Let's do this together. Do you want to do it alone? No. Let's do this together. Let's close our eyes. Father God, we worship you. And we cannot but thank you. For your grace is sufficient for us. That in our weakness, your strength is made perfect. And Father, thank you, Lord, that you're telling us today that you want to come with everything that you have. Those dreams, those things that you have, you're saying, I placed it there. And I want to help you. You can do it on your own. Or you can allow me to come and do it. So Father, thank you, Lord, that we want to come today and just say, we want to let go of pride, Father. And Lord, I want to repent of my pride. Lord, I want to let it go because I want more of you. And Lord, I want to let it go because I want to be able to love like you do. I don't want my pride to stand in the way of what you want, of who you are. Lord, I want to let go of my pride because I want to be like you. But Father, I admit that I don't know how to do this. And I cannot do it out of myself, even if I try very, very hard, Lord. So therefore, I just open up myself today and say, Lord, come and have your way. You do it. I say, I trust you completely, Lord. For you are so good and so magnificent and you never, ever, 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 ever change. You love me and I thank you for that this morning. Thank you, Lord, for every heart here. Thank you for our church, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we're not running this, you are. We're not running our own lives, you are. And we can acknowledge that through everything that's happened in our lives. We just want to worship you, Father. We just want to exalt you.